Pastor, for giving us the invite, and thank you, preachers, for preaching today. Amen? Y'all mean that? I hope so. Take your Bibles this afternoon, and turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. You know, I was thinking, while all you brothers were preaching, and as our pastor brother mentioned, we've been in revival since last Sunday morning at our church in the revival meeting, and I definitely believe that God is doing some things there. Week before that, I was with Brother Chrisman down at Trinity Missionary Baptist Church in Richmond. And earlier in the month, we were in another meeting, and I was just thinking about all the preaching that we've been enjoying, and thinking what a great privilege it is to be under the preaching of God's Word. Sometimes we may take that for granted, but God doesn't. I want to preach today on this subject, the Lord being my helper, God's premium on preaching. Let's stand together as we read this text, as we honor God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I'd like to tell you that when I was in Bible college at Lexington Baptist College, there was hardly a chapel service that someone wasn't preaching from this text. And if they weren't preaching from this text, we always heard it. And it means a great deal to me to these days. Let's look at this text together in verse 16 and then reading down through verse 5 of the next chapter. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Father, we thank you today for your precious word. Thank you for every message that we've been privileged to sit and listen to this morning. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that anointed our hearing this morning. I pray that the Spirit of God will make us not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And I thank you, Father, for these good brethren who stood before us this morning. And thank you for their labor in the word and what they're doing in the places where you've called them to serve. But Lord, help us this morning to realize that you have a high premium on preaching. And I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would be my helper. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. Stir our hearts afresh about the good things of the Lord. And Lord, let us examine your precious word this morning by the power of your Spirit. Oh, Lord, please stir us afresh this afternoon. Give us strength to listen and to enjoy the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be grateful to be your servants. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord. In his name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, why does God have such a high premium on preaching? I mean, in all reality, that's what we've been doing here for the last few hours. We've been preaching the Word of God. We've been listening to the Word of God. For me, in my own personal life here in the last few weeks, it just seems like that's pretty much been our mainstay is being under the preaching of the Word of God. It is a question, I think, that needs to be asked. Paul, the apostle, in his letters to the Lord's churches, seems to make preaching a great priority. We were talking earlier at the table about one of the things that, whether we want to admit it or not, it's affecting people all over this land. People really don't want to hear preaching. They'd rather come and be entertained. And I say that because even here today, if we would have had a well-known group of singers in here and so forth, we would have probably had a much larger crowd. And you can see the smile on people's faces. And they seem to be joyful about being entertained. And I, too, like to be entertained. I'm not going to lie about that. The flesh loves that. And I'm not saying that you can't come and hear a good group and worship the Lord. But what I am saying is that there seems to be a hunger for pleasures more than the preaching of the Word of God. Paul stressed to Timothy, as our brother so clearly put it, as well as Titus, set those things in order. And this is one of the reasons he left them. But Paul stressed to Timothy the importance of preaching the Word of God. Think about it for a moment. We meet weekly for worship, or as we're doing today, for a special meeting, or conferences, or revival meetings. And each of these are usually designed and dominated by the preaching of the Word of God, and rightly so. I mean, we certainly should come here for the purpose of preaching and listening to the Word of God. And I say that because I think that this is something worthy, I think, to be explored. It's something worthy to be explained, and I think certainly something wonderful to embrace. If in fact there's a reason for us coming together. Have you thought about that? I've been pastoring where I am now for almost 29 years this October. And I've thought about all the sermons that I've preached and all the speakers that we've had and the special meetings or the conferences or that I've been to or the revival meetings we've had. All the sermons and people, there are people who really do have a hunger to listen to God's Word. But why? That's a good question. Why does preaching hold such a prominent place as we gather for these meetings? Like, for instance, we had food a little while ago back there. I don't know about you, but it just makes me sleepy. I liked it. It was great. But I also realized that after eating all that food, and thank you, ladies, for all that, I really wanted a piece of that coconut cream pie in the worst way. But I knew if I ate that, I was going to have trouble up here in a few moments. So if there happens to be a piece of that left, I will take it home with me. I have my wife drive and I'll eat it on the way. And then, just let life take its course. But why is biblical preaching supreme as we gather together and worship? Let me suggest to you three pertinent reasons. First of all, biblical preaching is God's revelation of Himself. When we take our Bibles in hand and the preacher says, "Open the Bible," we should just realize that this is God's way of revealing Himself. And He does that through biblical preaching. I'm going to use the word biblical preaching because I'm not sure that all preaching is biblical preaching. I mean, I think I've even done some preaching that wasn't biblical. Have you preachers ever experienced that? I look back over some of my old outlines, and you know, I just go, "What in the world was I thinking?" Next thing I know, I've got a bow my head and say, Lord, I know at the judgment seat of Christ all this is coming out. Please, Lord, help me. Biblical preaching, though, is God's revelation of Himself. God, first of all, reveals Himself as the Word. John tells us that in his Gospel, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is God's revelation of Himself. The Son of God is the eternal Word of God. I love that passage, do you not? In the beginning, God created. And how did God do that creation? God created everything by the power of the Word of God. And we know that Jesus is the Word. So John tells us here, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 14, we read those wonderful words, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, God reveals Himself as the Word, but God also reveals Himself by the Word. And so we read here in our text, getting back to our text, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, or for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God reveals Himself by the Word. You know, I'm not sure which preacher was talking about the Word illuminating. Maybe our last speaker here, Brother Spears. Or it may have been a few of you, because you've been talking about the Word. Our brother here was talking about the Word. And each preacher was really directing us back to the Word. But when I think about the Word of God, how God reveals Himself by the Word, I think back right after I came to know the Lord. The Lord has saved me, and we went through this terrific trial in our life shortly after we'd been saved. And be quite honest with you, I was the church where the Lord had saved me. There in that work, our pastor was a very young man, was not really deep in the Word, I don't think, and he admitted that. We've admitted that to each other along the way, I should say. But one of the things that happened was that he was looking for answers to help us through this struggle, and so he invited us to a Bible study. It was out at the First Baptist Church of Harrison, and Berlin Heisel was the pastor then. And I didn't want to be there. I just to tell you, I was bitter. I was not doing well. And again, I was a young Christian, didn't know very much, didn't have many answers. But he kept inviting us to come. And finally, just out of, just so we could just finish the thing, I'm going to go. But to make a long story short, that was the turning point in our Christian life. And I sat there, and I'll never forget it. Because that's where I learned my theology. We studied a wonderful book by T.P. Simmons, Systematic Study of Theology. If you would have asked me what theology was, I didn't even know what theology was. One man asked me in the class the first night. He just walked up to me and said, so do you believe Jesus Christ started His church on the day of Pentecost or during His earthly ministry? Well, I don't know, I said. I don't know. I'm like, well, what do you think? And he said, I believe the Lord started His church during His earthly ministry. I said, yeah, I think that's what I believe too. I really didn't know. I didn't know anything. All I knew was I was saved and I was in a mess. And I remember sitting in that class. I began listening to our teacher. And I had made my mind up that I was, this must not be the God that I'm serving. You know, but the Lord kept bringing me back. And then one night, it was just like, I won't say that it was like being saved, but it was almost like being saved all over again. And I know you can't do that, but I'm just saying that when the Holy Spirit illuminated that truth about who God was, I remember just falling over in my lap. I was a much thinner man than I am now, but I remember just weeping. uncontrollably, because I finally realized what was happening in my life. And what was happening in our world was a result of rebellion against an all-wise sovereign God. And, it's just been a wonderful journey. I say God reveals Himself by His Word, and here we read those words in this text. Every attribute, every deed of God is known by His Word. Everything that we know about God, and everything we hope to know about God, and everything we can know about God, is found here within the pages of this blessed book. God reveals Himself by His Word. So this manner of preaching the Bible and its prominence in worship really goes, I think, worshiping our God stands unchallenged if God is to be revealed. What I'm saying to you is that there is a possibility for us to gather ourselves on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and never see God if we don't preach the book. Peter speaks to this subject of God's revelation in 1:21 of 2 Peter. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Oh, when we open this precious book, this is not just a book. It is His book. And it's not just the words on a page, but it is the living Word of God. This is why the Hebrew writer directs us, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Here it is, my friend. This book is alive. Why? Because it is God's revelation of Himself. Therefore, if worship is meant to be a spiritual time with God, and if there is to be a reverent response to this loving God, then at the heart of all of our worship there must be biblical preaching going on. Secondly, biblical preaching is God's redemption for humanity. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." Another reason that God places such a high premium on this matter of preaching is that God has ordained this preaching as the means that He has chosen to save them that believe. Listen to Paul's words as he's giving them under the inspiration of all the Word of God is inspired. I don't know why we say that, but we just do. That God's Word, He tells the church at Corinth, He said in 1:21 of 1 Corinthians, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." When God's Word is preached, He does a miraculous thing in the life of the sinner, bringing them by the blood of Jesus Christ and by grace through faith to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you would have asked me that the day God saved me, oh my goodness. But you see, that's the miracle of it all. I didn't have to have a T.T. Simmons systematic theology to understand that. I didn't have to have all of that in order to know the Lord Jesus Christ. No, my friend. When God saves by His grace, it is a work we call regeneration, but it is a miraculous moment that God brings the sinner from darkness to light, from this kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son. He brings that dead sinner who's dead in his trespasses and sins, and He makes him alive by the grace of God through the preaching of the Word of God. I don't believe you can be saved without biblical preaching. Doesn't Romans 10 and verse 17 said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Yes. So, biblical preaching is God's redemption for humanity. Notice, first of all, biblical preaching is authoritative. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Again, no one is saved apart from the Word of God. Therefore, biblical gospel preaching is the, as Paul told the church at Rome, he said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And could we not say that for our own cities, our own community, our own country? And what will make a difference in this nation, this city, this country, is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And will everyone be saved? We know that's not true. God has an elect. God is going to save them. But hear this today. Even for the unbeliever, we are that agent who've been saved by God's grace, which retards this sin in this world. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus told His church. You are the light of the world. What we've done, we've kind of retreated into our buildings. And I, hear me, we've got to get what we had in here. And in here, we got to get it out there. Because what we have in here, God intended for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's not just sending your money across the seas. No. That's knocking on your neighbor's door. That's talking to your coworker. Or maybe it's the girl who's behind the window at McDonald's who needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, or the girl who comes to your table and brings the food, or the young man that brings the food. Has it ever occurred to you that those people have souls? They do. Do you ever wonder why there aren't more conversions in our churches? We all know that salvation is God's work. But I have a greater concern today. My greater concern as a pastor of the Lord's church, of one of the Lord's churches, is that we could even get to the place where having never seen anyone saved as becoming normal. I mean, never filling the baptistry, that precious ordinance that preaches the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And But we can even get to the place where when we don't see anyone saved and know the Lord. And I think our brother said it well. He said, your reaping can be in proportion to your sowing. And I definitely believe this, that we don't spend enough time sowing. And so we cannot do much reaping. Maybe we should cry out with Rachel of old, give me children or I die. Yeah. I glory when God, glory to God, when He does that miraculous work of salvation. And I want to say to the Lord, as our brother said last night in our message, he said, he read a story somewhere where after Spurgeon's death, that great prince of preachers, as he's called in London, England, I've been there back in 1995. And it's only someone said, well, it's only a shell of what it was when Spurgeon was there. To me, that's not a good testimony. He preached to 10,000 every Lord's Day, 5,000 in the morning. And then I'm told that he would give everyone a ticket, or they would give everyone a ticket. When you came in, you had to have a ticket to get in. It didn't cost you anything. But because of overcrowding, He would tell the entire congregation to stay home tonight and pray so that this other crowd could get in on the evening service. Someone came and visited the tabernacle and wanted to know what his great power was. And he took them, I'm told that he took them down to the basement where I've been, in that basement where they now have a small bookstore. And there's a room down there that would have been a room down there. I don't know if it's the same room. Most of that building was destroyed during the war, but the facade at the front still there. But that he would take them down to a room. He said, no, he said, it's not my preaching. It's not me. He said he would take them down there and he'd find nearly 100 people down there on their knees praying to God for the preaching of the Word of God. Would to God we had that kind of a hunger for God again. Would to God that we had people that would pray for the men of God and for the men who lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and we may begin to see some conversions to Christ. Biblical preaching is not only authoritative, but it's awakening. Yeah. Again, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Every account of conversion found in the Word of God, Every one of them is a result of the preaching of the Word of God. Sunday after Sunday, preaching is the means that God uses to awaken the sinner of his great need. But also, my friend, God awakens the saint as well. You have to admit with me, we got a lot of sleepy Christians today. I mean, we have them in our church. I tell you, one day somebody's going to fall out and break their neck. And unlike Paul, I'm not going to be able to help them at all. I'm going to say, call 911. When I was a kid, my parents had this. Some of you seniors here will remember this. I remember a lot of things. But my parents had this. They bought it. You put a little glass in front of it with water, and you dunk its head, and it comes up, and it, boom, gets another one, and boom, back and forth, and then gets another one. Once it starts, I got a church member like that. Just reminds me that when I see it, you know, I'm like, I don't understand it. You know, I mean, I get sleepy sometimes, but you know, I really believe God's word. We really get. Pray the Holy Spirit of God to make it real. And by that, I mean awaken us to what we're listening to. It takes God to do that. But we need it, do we not? And God awakens both the saint and the sinner. Not just a conversion. But I think even for those of us who are saved, He awakens us to His own majesty. Because it is in the Word of God, when we preach it, that God is speaking to us. So we can emphatically say that God places a high premium on preaching. Thirdly and finally, biblical preaching is God's remedial for holiness. It's all scriptures given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. Here's the remedial. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. It is a remedial. This is a remedial for holiness. John said in 17:17 of the gospel there, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God uses His word to sanctify us. And I tell you, my friend, so many people believe this to be a Sunday book. And I'll tell you, it really is a Sunday book. But it is a Monday book. And it is a Tuesday book. It is the believer's book. Because God has given us His Word to sanctify us. We are living in a dirty world. It is true that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. But you would have to admit with me today that many, and maybe even our own selves at times, we find ourselves more like the world than we want to admit. Yes, sir. Right. We're weak. We're weary. And we have a hard time worshiping God like that. And so we've got to get in the Word. Stay in the Word. You close that book on your life on Sunday evening after your pastor preaches his sermon, and you lay that book aside, as someone said, and it collects the dust throughout the week, then you are setting yourself up for defeat. You are setting yourself up for disillusionment. You're setting yourself up seriously to even come to the place where you defy the living God and dare God to say anything to you. But if you keep this open, it'll be profitable. Yeah, it's God's remedial for holiness, biblical preaching is. And this is why us pastors have a great responsibility when we do stand to preach the Word of God. Let me show you how this all falls out here. First of all, it is a personal remedial course. You see, Paul didn't leave Timothy unhinged from that which would be his rule of faith and practice, as we are, as Baptists are so quick to quote. You know, this is, the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. I don't know about that. I know it should be. And I know that's what I was always taught, that the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. I used to hear our pastor say that all the time. I had no clue what he was talking about. But I know what it means today, that this is our only rule of faith and practice. But I'd be willing to say, as a pastor, and these other pastors here, that as our brother said, you know, hey, our church is going through trouble. Listen, if our churches could, and you know what? Our church goes through trouble too. But I'll tell you what that trouble is all about. It's because somebody don't have that book open. If that book stays open, the trouble will be over. They said a Spurgeon, when he sat down to counsel with somebody, it didn't last over maybe about 5 minutes. All he did was open the Bible, said, this is what God said, boom, it's over. But now we have to have counsel session after counsel session, hour after hour, to try to work through some of these issues, these baggages that people are carrying. Hear this well today. If we can get our people to stay in the Word, a lot of our troubles will be solved. Yeah, have you never been in a service and you're just like loaded down with something, you know? And nobody, I've been in meetings where maybe no one even knew me. I sit down and I say to myself, in just a minute, God, if he's preaching the Word, God reveals himself to me, and I go, when I leave, I go, well, now I know what I need to do. It's the Word of God. Amen. It got all answered right there. Or, you know, some people will say, oh, you know, somebody told the preacher on me. No. You don't have to do that. Preachers can't be the police, chief police in the church. We can't run around to your house and see what you're doing or where you are, what you listen to, what you watch. First of all, we're not good enough at that. We're not savvy enough at it. And not only that, but we don't have time for that kind of business. So what does Paul tell Timothy to do? Preach the Word. If you preach the Word, God will begin working in the lives of His people, and marvelous, miraculous things will be taking place. So Paul doesn't leave him unhinged from being guarded and growing and governed. He gives him the Word. And I think in order for any pastor to lead and feed, he must also heed. The Bible, my preacher brethren, is our spiritual compass for all manners of life. The Bible will teach you how to live holy, and it'll rebuke you when you don't. Yeah. My brother quoted Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in the season? You got to stay in here. This is the answer. This is God's remedial for holiness. What did the preacher say there in the early church there in the book of Acts, chapter 6, you know, when they had all that disgruntled business going on? They could have said, you know, we got to come up with a new program for this, a new program for that. Man, we got to get this going. We got to get that going. We got to get this. What we need is more leadership conferences. You know what they said? The Holy Ghost said, choose you out 7 men. And it gives all that for the deacons. But do you remember what the preacher said? But we will give ourselves continually to the word of the prayer and the word of God. A word of God and prayer. So we want to give ourselves to the Word continually, to prayer rather, and the ministry of the Word. Now what would that take? That'll take an aggressive work of discipleship in your ministry. You know, to me personally, in my ministry there, I'm in a place where, that no one wanted to go. Nobody still wants to go there. But we do, because that's where, as our brother preached so emphatically, you got to be where God called you. I wouldn't work anywhere else. I'd be like a square peg in a round hole. Wouldn't work. But God put us there. But here's what I think that has been such a blessing there, is that discipleship has been the key, I think, to our church growth. And the people that we have are actively involved in the work there. Let me give you a primary activity of the pastor. And I'm not trying to patronize anybody here. I don't want time to read all the scriptures. I won't even try to quote them all. But just run through this real quick list. Every pastor here. Every pastor here. These are some of the activities of the pastorate, and they're all connected to the Word of God. All these, by the way, can be found in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Here's what we got to do. Pray. That's part of our, that's connected to the Word, by the way. Evangelizing. That's connected to the Word, isn't it? Equipping. That's connected to the Word. Defending. Loving. Laboring. Modeling. Leading. Feeding. Watching. Warning. Teaching, exhorting, encouraging, correcting, confronting, rescuing, mowing grass. Oh, no, and that was another one. Yeah, that wasn't in Thessalonians, I can tell you that. But we do got to mow grass, brothers, sometimes. One thing about where I'm at, we just got two little strips. There's two little strips. I'm like that guy on that commercial, you know, where the garage comes up, he's got that zero turn, and he just comes out, and he just goes, boom. And then he just turns it off and goes right back, you know, backs right back up in the garage. Well, we just got two little strips out in front of our building. You know, but I even find that sometimes that doesn't get mowed. I'm wondering to myself, are they listening? Are they engaged? So it is a personal remedial course, but then it's a public one. I'll close with this. In 2 Timothy there, where he read, where Paul is instructing his preacher, young preacher, who would be one of the Lord's servants at the church at Ephesus. He says to him there, I charge thee. This is a charge. Serious business is what he's saying. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But I think he encourages them right here. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Immediately after that last text, Paul now charges him with these solemn words. The man of God, he's saying to him, you've been equipped. You can't tell God this business of like, they won't listen to me. They don't care about me or this just doesn't work. No, it does work. You've been equipped. I've been equipped to lead the church to spiritual victory. And it's not you. It's not me. It's the power of God's Word. Yes. God has given us a divine library at our disposal for the life of the church. And I say public, this is a public remedial course in this sense. As we worship as a church, this is a very public matter. And God has so designed our time with Him each and every service that all circumstances can be addressed without us interfering. We might be creating our own problems. Have you never, let me tell you what, 29 years I have created a lot of my own problems. Paul charged this young preacher, though, to preach the Word. For that to be remedial, you must have biblical preaching going on. Biblical preaching is expository preaching. And I'm not saying that you can't preach a topical outline. You can, and I have, and I probably still will, but even that, my friend, can be biblical. You know, Nehemiah outlines it for us there in Nehemiah 8:5-8, doesn't he? He tells us what the expository preaching is all about. It has to have three elements. And when you get there, what you'll see is it says, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. What is that? That's proclamation. That's the first aspect of preaching, is reading the Word of God distinctly. You know, I wish we would have had a course like that, or some preacher would have sat me down and said, yeah, you're not reading that right. Why? Because, I mean, does that really matter? Are you just being critical? No. This is God's Word. This is how God reveals Himself. And so we want to read it distinctly. That's proclamation. And then they gave the sense of it. What is that? Well, that's interpretation. And it says, and caused them to understand the reading. Now, what is that? That's what our brother said earlier. That's application. You hear the Word of God, and you get the interpretation of it, get the sense of it, and then you got to make the application. You got to be a doer of the Word. Otherwise, it becomes a judgment to yourself, because you heard it. You got the sense of it, but then you said to yourself, but I'm not doing it. And if we become just hearers of the Word and not doers of the Word, then Jesus likens us unto a foolish man which builds his house in the sand. But if we'll hear the Word and be doers of the Word, then our work shall be blessed. Yes. So as I close today, let me say this. Ultimately, all biblical preaching is designed to bring our worship to Him who deserves it. God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come into His presence in the preaching, let's remind ourselves to call on our lives, that God's call, rather, on our lives is a high and a holy one. You know, if we have a high view of God, then we'll want to walk after that. But if we have a low view of God, then we'll walk low. Just kind of like when we sing those songs, we want to have a high view. I mean, really. I mean, we should sing from the passion within our hearts. Why? Because we're not just singing to the saints. We're singing to the sovereign. We're singing to the one whom one day we shall bow at His feet. And we'll raise our hands as we are there on our knees before Him. And we'll say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Worthy is our God. Yes, worthy. So, preaching would do us all well to study preaching and why we sit under it. I mean, if we sit under something 30, 40 years, we want to know why. But don't wait till then. You know, I've been on this journey now for some time, and I want to tell you something. The more I study, I realize that I haven't even touched the hem of His garment. I mean it. I can only imagine and one brother said to me, and I'll close this, he said to me, well, Pastor, don't you think we'll be bored in heaven? I said, how's that? He said, well, I mean, you know, like, praying the Lord for, thank you.
But that was worship. I'm telling you, my brothers, we get there. And then about me, you think, I can't even scratch the surface of that. I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to that. Hear me well. And I'll go to it. But I'm not going to wait till I get there. I want to be like that little blind girl who wrote that song. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. Yeah, this is a foretaste. You know, when we come into His presence, this is a foretaste. And it's glory to God. Imagine what's going to be, what kind of way. Enjoy it, man. My brother.